Representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, I'm so glad to meet with you wherever you are, and now this program is going practically worldwide, and so it's just an amazing thing. I personally would not have the money to even get on the radio for 15 minutes on one station, and yet God just keeps giving us station after station, and the money is coming, the finances is coming in for it, and so I believe it's a miracle of the Lord because He said His words would never pass away. And we are upholding His words, and we know the history of it. And by the way, we want, right now, you could start calling in if you would like to call in, have a question or a comment. And Brother Al, could you tell us the phone number?
All right, Bruce, and again, thank you for letting me be on with you today. The telephone numbers here locally is 216-901-0933. But you can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. I know that works anywhere throughout the United States. Also works in Canada, I believe. And I'm not sure where else it works for, but that's 888-677-9673. And if you have trouble with that, you can do the local phone number of 216-901-0933. And we're live on the air right now, and Bruce is ready for your phone call. So if you've got a question, give us a call.
Amen. Now, will this, can they call from China now? I know I have a friend in Russia, and I can call him directly. And
oh, absolutely. If they call that number, I'm sure if nothing else, they can call the 216-901-0933 number. And I would imagine anybody in the world can call that. They'd have to have the country code, which I should know this, having lived in England and having lived in the Samoan Islands. I used to have to dial the country code to call home. But I think it's 01 or something like that. But they can find out pretty easily.
I'm so astounded at this, and I mean, the coverage that we have in many radio stations over North America and also in Africa, and, mm-hmm. and it's just a miracle of God because He wants His word upheld, and it's being attacked. Like the devil, the first thing out of his mouth is, "Yea, hath God said," and so he's attacking. Now, I am so happy to have Brother Al Davis. He's pastor of Richfield Bible Baptist Church. When's the time of your service?
Well, we have Sunday services at, we have a morning Bible study at 10 o'clock, and then at 11 o'clock is our morning service. And by the way, at our morning Bible study right now, we're actually talking about the need for prayer in reaching people with the gospel, praying for the lost. And then Sunday morning, we're going through the Gospel of Luke at 11 o'clock, and then Sunday evening, going through the book of Jeremiah at 6 o'clock, and we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. That's right where Interstate 80 and Interstate 77 cross in Richfield, Ohio. And then on Friday nights, every Friday night, we actually have a two-hour informal Bible study where people bring the questions, and whatever the questions are, we look at the Bible and see what God's Word has to say about it, whether it's current events in relation to God's Word or just a pure Bible question. That's what we talk about. Same thing we do in our radio programs, which I'll be on tomorrow, Friday here on 1220 AM WHKW radio from 1:30 till 2, and then Sunday night, every Sunday night from 11 until midnight. And we just try to get into the Word of God and see what, you know, thus saith the Lord has to say.
Well, that sounds like it really keeps you busy doing all those things.
And then enjoy being on the program with you, too.
Yes, and I'm sure glad to have you. And also my friend Clark Block here, he's very important because he drives me here. So I couldn't even put on a program if it wasn't for him. And so he's getting married. And so the Bible says, "He that getteth a wife gets a good thing and receives the favor of the Lord." When is that going to be?
That's happening June the 14th.
June, where's that going to be?
That's the Columbia Road Baptist Church.
Okay, at Columbia Road Baptist Church, and that's where I attend also, at Columbia Road Baptist. It's about a quarter mile north of Lorain Avenue on Columbia Road in North Olmsted, Ohio. And so I'm really happy for him because it's a blessing, you know, and I could see he's smiling from ear to ear there. He's very happy about that. Okay, and he's marrying Kathy, and I know her too, and she's a good Christian lady.
Kathy Smith.
Okay, and she's going to have a name change, isn't she?
Sure is.
Do you know who started that the woman takes the man's name? It's really amazing. You read Genesis, all the things that go on today. God started that because when he brought Eve to Adam, he called him Adam. In other words, mm-hmm. Mr. and Mrs. Adam. So from that time, when God started that, the lady takes the husband's name. And so she's going to have a new name. Well, I'm really happy for him, and so we're the program here is Where is God's Word, and we're upholding it. And just before we came on, Brother Davis, he told me an interesting thing, and it's the reason why we have this program. Would you tell the folks about that?
Well, we talk about a lot of things on the air here, and prophecy and church history, Bible history especially, and of course the title, Where is God's Word? There's an attack on God's Word today, and a lot of people don't think that what version of the Bible you use makes that much of a difference. But I found an interesting article, actually there's a couple of them, talking about a Bible app that allows people to download a huge number of Bible versions, not all of them English, of course, but probably just about every English Bible available is on there because this thing has like 700 Bible versions on it. And atheists love this app. The reason they like it so much is they use it to confuse Christians. And when a Christian says, oh, I believe that the Bible says this and I believe it, and they'll go through several different versions of where these versions change that all the time, and they'll say, well, you believe it there. Oh, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And they use it to confuse people, and some of them, actually, here's a quote by this one lady who uses this. This is a 22-year-old chemistry major in Colorado. She says, I know a lot of atheists who have come to their non-belief by actually reading the Bible rather than just the fluffy stories they choose to tell you about in church. Reading the full story with all its contradictions and violence and sexism, it should make you think, is this really what I believe? At least it did for me. And she's saying that all these different versions and the confusion that exists actually help make her an atheist. And so people who don't think this is a big issue or something that's important, these are the atheists saying this. They like all these versions because it's easy for them to confuse people who really don't know the story, who really don't know what the Bible says. I know when the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door and they tell you that you should believe them, and you tell them you believe Jesus is God, and they say it doesn't say that in the Bible, and when you use, 1 John 5:7-8, they say, oh, that's a spurious verse, and they get kind of smug about it. And for the Christian that doesn't know that that was in the originals, they're confused, and they don't have a leg to stand on. So
we keep mentioning all the time, and we'll try to send this out to you. I have to find mine again, but we've given many of these out over, and you could call the station right now if you would like this, but we want to mail this out and keep doing it, and we've been doing it almost since I've been on the air. We have 100 places where Jesus is taken out of the modern versions, and they come from a different underlying text, and the text that it comes from has been attacked, but in doing the research for the last 30 years, I have been reading everything on all sides of this issue. And the evidence is overwhelming. Over 99% of the ancient manuscripts, as well as the ancient church fathers, back up the text behind the King James, which is called the Received Text, the Antiochian Text, or I could call it the Apostolic Text, the Apostles' Text, mm-hmm. because it comes right from the apostles, and we can demonstrate this. And, you know, in the Old Testament, God had raised up prophets to bring people back to him. And God has raised up people that he has given a tremendous ability and brilliant intellect and so on. And they are writing books, and there's a whole list of them. I just was thinking, and I have mentioned the people that take the side, and you may think this is strange that we're upholding the King James, but I could mention some of the people, like at Moody Bible Institute when I was there, why Dr. Alfred Martin was in charge of all the satellites. He was executive vice president, and he's got a book out that defends the King James. Spurgeon talked about the same thing we did. Billy Sunday talked about it. D.L. Moody, and I've read this on the radio many times, what these individuals have said about mm-hmm. this. So it's not something new. And the text that we behind the King James goes right back to the apostles of Christ. Even Kurt Eland, and I have read as many sides as I could on this issue. He's considered one of the leading textual writers today. But he even says that the passages in the back of the Greek Orthodox text that they have, goes back to the time of the apostles. That's 100, see? And so there's so much evidence, and we have them in so many books. I'm going to give you this one, and I personally think that this lady is the leading writer in the world today as defending the authorized King James Bible, and many other people agree. I know a lot of my preacher friends have read her books, and one of them says he loves them. Somebody else says, well, she's on a class all her own, you know, and I am just saying this, so I wish you would actually get read some of the books that she has written. If you don't agree with this at all, why not read the other side? I mention this all the time, but don't be an ostrich. You know, an ostrich, when it senses danger, why, it digs a hole and sticks its head in the hole to protect itself. Well, that's not very good protection, you know. But this is such a crucial issue, because if you throw out Jesus in over 100 places out of the Bible, that's a fundamental issue. And then Pastor Davis has just mentioned this atheist just uses these versions, and they disagree with each other. You know what the Lord has to say about this? He says, divers weights and measurements are an abomination unto the Lord. You have different measurements. You have different sets of words.
Mm-hmm.
That's an abomination to God. God hates that. The Bible says, thy word is true from the beginning, and we're supposed to believe what we read is true. And the Bible says that in thy word do I trust. How can we trust it if we have all these Bibles that disagree? One time I was stopped in a church, and so they had responsive reading there, and the lady on the row looked at me, and she sort of was chuckling because everybody's reading out a different version, you know, and it was just a bunch of babble, you know. And so what this atheist said is so right, because these versions do not agree. The corrupt ones come from Constantine's Bible primarily, the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, those two. And we talked about them a lot, but Constantine was an Arian when he put those out, and he is also worshipped as the incarnation of the sun god, and he murdered his wife and his son. And he was the one that put these out, which are the basis for the modern versions, and some people call them the oldest and best. Well, if they're the oldest and best, who's talking? I mean, who says they're the oldest and best? I think from the devil's point of view, he would say they're the oldest and best. God wouldn't, because they disagree with each other, and they're called the eclectic text. That is, they disagree. Yes.
Yeah, I was talking about oldest and best. I use this example. If I went in, when I was a kid growing up, if I looked at my mom's book, you know, cookbooks, or my grandmother's cookbooks, and if I found the oldest one that was in the best condition, you know, I look at that, and what they're saying is that must be best, because, you know, that's in the best condition and all. I'd say, well, if I looked at my grandmother's cookbooks or my mom's cookbooks, the oldest one that was in the best condition would not be their favorite cookbook. The cookbook that would be their favorite is the one that's worn out practically, pages falling out of it, because they use it all the time. And some of these so-called oldest and best were in such good conditions because nobody read them, because they didn't consider them God's word, or at least not reliable.
You know, just lately somebody's been talking about Mark 16:9-20, So it deals with what we're talking about right now. You know, most manuscripts and most of the church fathers have that in, but it's not in the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. See, they took Mark 16. So that means, would Mark have written a book about Jesus Christ and then leave him dead? You know, the end of Mark 16:9, it was, they were all afraid. Is that the good news, that they were all afraid with Jesus still in the tomb? And the reason they took that out, it comes from one particular source, and it comes from Alexandria, Egypt. And I'll tell you why they would have taken something like that out. And it's simply because it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, these signs, they couldn't do them. That's why they couldn't do the signs. And they hadn't read in Hebrews where it says, God bore them witness, the ones that saw Jesus Christ by signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost. And since they couldn't do it, how did they handle it? Well, they just snip it off, you know? So it's out of the Constantine's Bible. But that Constantine's Bible is corrupt, and a number of these Bibles are put out, and they disagree with each other by the same guy, you know? And they disagree with each other. So the Bible says, in thy word do I trust. And if you could, preacher, if you could prepare to give the phone number again.
Oh, sure.
I have some other things we're going to talk about, but I'd like to get people's opinions on this. What do you think about these preachers that are correcting the King James? And I'd like you to call in and tell what you think about it. And I'm going to ask you, preacher, what do you think about this? These preachers correcting the King James? You hear this constantly on the radio and television.
All right. And before I answer that, the number again, 888-677-9673, that's toll free, 888-677-9673. And then there's the local number, 216-901-0933. And people can get in right now. Telephone lines are open. And we'll get you on the air here with Brother Bruce and Where is God's Word. And in regards to this, I think a lot of times, you know, I remember when my wife and I were missionaries in Samoa, we would get this program from Hawaii. And this guy sat on a stool, you know, with not quite a turtleneck, but an aloha shirt, you know, those Hawaiian shirts. And he would hold up a Bible and say, now in this version it says this. And then he'd hold up another one. Now in this version it says this. And then he would ask people in the congregation, now does anybody have a different version? And let's see what that says. He'd go through like half a dozen versions. And you know, his program, he's supposed to be this Bible teacher. And I think that he thought it made him look smart. You know, I'm able to go through not just one Bible, but I go through half a dozen Bibles to find what's really true. And it makes you look smart. And they don't really stop to think that makes you the final authority, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know why I think that they don't know what they're talking unless they're deliberately deceiving? When they say the Greek text, I don't know how many Greek texts are floating around. There's a dozen at least that are floating around, and they have different editions of it. Nestle's has, I don't know what the, how many now, at least 20, there's at least four, maybe more, maybe six now or something like that. So they're constantly changing, plus all the different Greek texts. And these guys get on there without giving any evidence whatsoever and dogmatically say the Greek text says, you know. And furthermore, not only are there many Greek texts, but there's many lexicons that they're using. That's a Greek-English dictionaries. And there's many of them. And not only that, a lot of these things are put together by people that by no biblical standard are they born again or Christians. And so a person gets on there and says, the Greek text, he's showing off. But what he's doing is, I hear on the same program where they're saying confidence in the Bible is going down, you know? And, for crying out loud, why is it going down? Because they turn on radio and television and the person has to correct it. And I'm telling you, based on their ignorance and arrogance, because they don't even give evidence for it. They just dogmatically make the statement, you know, the Greek text says, well, why don't you tell us which Greek text it is? There's all kinds. And why don't you tell us whose lexicon you used when you made this? Or a lot of times they're reading some book by somebody as just as arrogant as that. and they're reading a book, and so that person gives the correction, so they're reading the correction from them. You know, Kenneth Wiest is one individual following him, but a lot of times he was following Thayer, and Thayer is a Unitarian. I mean, he openly denies that Jesus is God, and he doesn't hide it, see? And so this whole thing is chaos. I call him the chaos cult. But Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So today, Mr. Bergen showed, and he hasn't been contradicted. I haven't seen contradictions. All I've seen is theories. And Mr. Bergen has showed that 99% of the, over 99% of the church fathers and early manuscripts back up the authorized King James Bible. And that's not what you're hearing today, though. And I tell you, the Bible says, be wise and don't be fools. You know, they that were at Berea were more noble than those at Thessalonica, that they searched the scriptures. Now, we have books put out by that are well-documented, put out by brilliant people that God has spoken through, and there's quite a number of them. I mentioned one. There's a book out by Alfred Martin, who is executive vice president at Moody Bible Institute. Not that that particular organization promotes the right text, but he did. And we talk about Charles Spurgeon and D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, Dallas Billington, and we could just go on and on with people that stood for it. But today, these books are being written by brilliant people. Have the time? You ought to read. You ought to read books by Gail Riplinger. I have one in front of me, and I mentioned this before. It's a short one here. It's called "Which Bible Is God's Word?" And in this book, I'm looking at the thing. It has about 170 pages, and it's very interesting. When I read her stuff, it's hard to put down once you read it. And it has the documented evidence. So some people are talking about the New King James. That's corrupt, too. They don't throw Jesus out in 100 places, but there's a lot of corruptions there. And you can find it, and you can check what she says for yourself. And this is a lady that represented the United States in scholarship. She's a godly lady. She has a godly daughter. They go visiting and witnessing constantly. I saw her one time when she was shopping. She was giving out tracts and stuff like that, and she's had a consistent life. She's been married to her husband for 29 years, and he recently, about a year ago, went to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But God has used her in a tremendous way. I'm building her up because people ought to read this. I would think that many, and you know, Christians have given a witness to her writing because she has sold 500,000 books on this subject, and people read them and pass them on. And so, because they're really so good and they're biblical, I was reading a book by Geisler. I try to read everything I can constantly, and so much of it was just man's opinions. And they talked about textual criticism in that book. And textual criticism is nonsense. They just set this thing up. They call it scientific. They set these corollaries, or they set these statements up. And if you go by them, it leads to the Vatican Bible, Constantine's Bible. That's what it's all about, leading to that. The shortest reading is the best. The most difficult reading is the best. And so you follow this, and it takes you to Constantine's Bible. And it's interesting. The Pope has been pushing that since 1450. That's a long time, see? And so, we have the Word of God. God said He'd protect it. In our authorized King James Bible, it comes down through the churches. Now, you say, well, you're talking in English, well, about the English Bible. Well, it's the universal language today of the world. They're studying it worldwide. And not only that, if you have another Bible in another language, you could tell which one is the true Bible, which one has the true text. And you can look at some verses, and I'll mention a few of them right now. If you're, because you're people listen from Africa, from China, all over the world now, our program is going to. And for instance, the Bible says in John 20:31, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Well, if a Bible is a true Bible, it's going to say that throughout. And yet, in Luke 2:33, in the corrupt versions, and you could start with this verse, but there's many, many more. It says, his father and his mother, referring to Joseph, calling Joseph his father. And yet, in that same chapter, Jesus, he says, I must be about my father's business, when Mary calls Joseph his father. And she knew better, but she's just covering up. And so they're saying Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about, or he's a liar. And so you know that that translation is wrong, because if it's wrong there, it's wrong in many places. Another one to look at is 1 John 5:7. And that's, there's three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. The word Trinity is not mentioned in the Bible, but there is the Trinity, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And that's an important verse. And that has been eliminated from many versions, and they say that's not in the Greek. Well, Tertullian in 200, he was a lawyer in Carthage, North Africa, for instance. He was telling where the original autographed copies that the apostles made. He said, this one is in Rome, this one is here, this one is somewhere else. And he quotes it. I believe we have somebody calling in. Is that right?
It's time for the break.
Okay. Our engineer says a break. He was a little bit quiet today. So we'll take the break then, and then we'll, if you'd like to talk to us afterwards.
Can a student use Christian music for a talent show at their school? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
A friend of my daughter's tried out for their middle school talent show audition using a Christian song, and she was told she could be in the show, but she would have to choose another song, and I was wondering if that was an infringement of her free speech.
Tracy, it sure is. She's allowed to utilize in a talent show, in a presentation, a song that has religious content, a religious message, or a Christian song. In fact, there's Department of Education guidelines specifically on that point. Christian music is not banned when it's a student selection. They're allowed to make the selection. They could choose to include a Christian song as part of it. So again, as we just did previous call, we're going to get you in touch with our lawyers here at the ACLJ and get some help there. Again, if there's a talent show, the students are allowed to select the material. They cannot be banned simply because the material is religious in content or Christian in its orientation.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
During our seminary days, Cynthia and I had a dear lady in our home church. Her name was Aunt May. Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Aunt May stayed in touch with us regularly. She asked us what our needs were, and she would often say, "Now, I'm praying for you. I need to know how you're doing." Later, she would check on us. "Now, the last time we were together," she would say, "you mentioned this or that. How did that work out?" And she would take her pen and scratch that particular prayer request off her list. Then she would say, "Now, what else should I be praying for?" We all need an Aunt May in our lives.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
Well, you're listening to Where Is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. And if you want to join in the conversation here this afternoon, you can give us a telephone call. The local phone number is 216-901-0933, or you can call toll free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible, how we got our Bible, church history, things of that nature, we'd love to hear from you this afternoon. And Bruce, you had a question that you wanted people to answer as well.
Yes. What do you think about these preachers correcting the Bible on radio and television? I mean, I'm willing to listen to all sides here and discuss this. Now, the thing is, I also want to say this. We want to talk about biblical authority. That's what we want to talk about. There's so many things. We have a limited time, and our program is on biblical authority. And I tell you, with all my heart and soul, I am very disturbed about the fact of what is going on, and particularly these preachers correcting the Bible, because they They say it so dogmatically, they don't give any evidence for their correction or try to even, they don't tell you what Greek text, and there's many Greek texts, as we said, they don't tell you what dictionary they're using. They don't tell you who said it. You know, they just dogmatically make a statement that the King James is wrong. And this is going on all the time. You know, the first thing the devil said is, yea, hath God said. And so this is why we have this program. Now we say, in Isaiah 59, 20 and 21, it says, this is my covenant with Jacob. The words that I speak unto thee shall not depart out of thy mouth or out of the mouth of thy seed, or out of the mouth of thy seed from this generation forever. And so the Jews will have the true word of God in the Masoretic text. And some people have been messing even with that. But the King James is based on the true Masoretic text. And in the New Testament, it says, these are written, you might believe Jesus, Son of God. And I have a lot of reasons, biblical reasons, why we use the King James. The Bible, I call it King James in prophecy. It's the text that the true church has. The true church, it says, thou mightest know how thou dost to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The true church through the ages has upheld the truth. It is not the truth, but it upholds the truth. The church is not the truth, like some people teach, but it's the word of God is truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. And the Bible says the word of God liveth and abideth forever. It's a living thing. It abides. It's something we have. And thy word have I hid in my heart. So we have it. And there's every evidence that it's found in the authorized King James Bible. And so that's why we have this. And it's been attacked so much. You know, one of the places, even today, there's many, many preachers today that believe in the King James Bible. But students are going to schools where they correct it. And you ought to check and ask these presidents of these schools, say, do you correct this book? What books are you using to defend it and uphold it? And you ought to put these presidents, these schools on the spot, because God didn't, those schools are not there to sit in judgment on the Bible. And God has given us his word. And another reason we believe it's the word of God, because in the Old Testament, the priests were the ones that were to uphold and guard the word of God. In the New Testament, the Bible says we are a kingdom of priests. And that is the Christian that loves Jesus Christ around the world. They have followed the true text in general. The great majority of Christians continue to go back. Why? Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth, and he will abide with you forever. So it's the Holy Spirit in the hearts of believers. 200 translations that come out, they come and they go. This one continues on. Why? That's the witness of the Holy Spirit in people's hearts. And so would you give that phone number once again? And we'd like to talk on this subject if you have the courage to call in.
Oh, sure. You know, if you just got questions about it and want to know why, Bruce has got the program here today and understand the issue better. 888-677-9673 is the toll-free number. That's 888-677-9673. And if you have trouble with that, you can always call the local number, which is 216-901-0933, and we'll get you on the air here this afternoon.
You know, in the Bible, it tells you where to find God, and you don't have to find him by going to heaven or going into the heart of the earth, but it says the word of God is nigh thee. That's simple English for near you, even in your heart, you know. And so we have the word of God in our heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And I know what those preachers that correct it, what they're using. I read the books, and for years I've taught young men for the ministry, and so I see the books, and I try to read all the books that they're being taught in some of the other schools. And I just say, they are wrong. Thy word is true from the beginning. That's what the Bible says. It says, in thy word do I trust. We don't trust in the Greek guru out there. We're not even to trust in the preacher, but in God's word we trust. And some people say, well, you got to trust in somebody, you know. No, how about trusting in God's word? And, you know, from a simple logic, the greatest group of scholars, if you want to use that word, that came together were the translators of the King James Bible. And they had these other translations that had come to them from many different languages coming down from the apostles. And they have the readings that are in the King James. They might be in other languages. And we know that even in 360, Euphilus translated the scripture into the Gothic tongue. That's the beginning of the King of the English language. And somebody might even translate it before him, as far as we know. But many of the words in the King James are words that Euphilus translated into Gothic way back in 360. And then Tyndale, he had a translation, and he based it on the Gothic and other translations. And 90% of the words in the King James are Tyndale's translation. The Bible says that in the book of Revelation, they died for the word of God. They were martyred. Our Bible is the Martyr's Bible. And it's traced by the trail of blood coming down from Jesus Christ, people that died for Jesus. Tyndale, he put the Bible there, and he was murdered. And the last prayer he prayed was, open the king's eyes. And he was burned at the stake, but God opened the king's eyes. And probably through Anne Boleyn, whom he married, he turned around and started to allow the Bible to be translated and to be circulated in the English language. And so we thank the Lord. But according to the promise of the Lord, do you believe what God said? Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. They say, the Greek says, they don't have the original Greek autographed copies. And if they had them, they wouldn't know that they had them even. They wouldn't even know it, see? But the text has come down from the apostles. In many translations, it's the text that King James is based on. And we have here in the modern translations a massive deception there. And so that's why we have this program. And we believe that, before I knew anything about this, the Holy Spirit led me. I was taught to use the New ASB Bible, New American Standard, based on Nestle's 23rd edition. And that was put out, started by the Jesuits, according to Ira Price, the University of Chicago and Kenyon of England, who were leading writers on textual history. And they said, based on a 1592 Jesuit Bible that was put out, Clementi Vulgata, 1592. And, they have, we love the Roman Catholic people, but most churches would not have a priest in there to teach Bible. And yet, these Bibles, the Nestle's is the basis of the New ASV and also the NIV. It's another edition of Nestle's Greek text. And one of the people on the committee is Archbishop Carlos Martini of Milan, Italy. And he's deciding what the readings will be. Say, well, what's the difference? Well, for instance, in the book of James, it says, confess your faults in the King James. And in the modern versions, it says, based on a text that's been edited by this Carlos Martini, Archbishop of Milan, it says, confess your sins. There's a different Greek word there. For instance, in the King James, based on one Greek word, but on the NIV, when it says, confess your faults. And so that's a proof text for confessing to a priest. We're to confess our faults if we offend somebody, and we're to say, well, I'm sorry I did that to you, see? But it makes all the difference in the world. What Bible? And God's very particular about things. He's very accurate. He's mathematical. This Bible is put together like that. If you'd like to call in, we'd be glad to talk to you. You can make a statement or you have a question or so on. But we're so glad. Do you have anything else to say about preachers, for instance, correcting the King James?
Like I said earlier, a lot of it, I think there's a pride issue, makes you look good, look smarter, because I know something you don't know. That reminds me of the sin of the Nicolaitans that Jesus refers to in, what is that, Revelation chapter 3, I believe it is, or chapter 2, where he talks about having the sin of the Nicolaitans, and maybe you could expound on that.
Yeah, word means to conquer the people, you know, and so it's a clergy class that has the authority over people in a way that they shouldn't have. If they go to you, you know, for what the Bible really says, and they don't believe that they have it in English, then you become their authority. And a good lady was talking to me just recently, and she didn't even name a particular Bible teacher. And I said, well, the Bible says, cursed is everyone that putteth confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord, see? And we're to trust in his word. We're not to trust in some Bible teacher to tell us what it really says. And we're to trust in the word of God. And, you know, it explains itself. For instance, one place it says, you're not to defraud one another. And then a few words later, it says, steal from one another. So it defines the word defraud. And the Bible is constantly explaining itself. I was interested in learning Spanish, and I talked to a friend of mine who speaks Spanish, and he says, well, just get a Spanish Bible and keep reading it, because it follows this, that you read a sentence in the Spanish here, and then it's going to be defined a few verses later if it's the true Bible, just like the King James defines words, constantly defining and explaining. And the reason people have false doctrine is that they take a verse out of context, and what they do, the Bible talks about private interpreters.
Mm-hmm.
They put an interpretation on it that's not found in the Bible. For instance, on baptism, they use this verse, except Jesus talked about being born again of water and of the Spirit. You know, so somebody said, well, the Holy Spirit enters, you pray over water, Holy Spirit enters the water, becomes holy water, and takes away your sins. Now, first of all, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's not the water that does it. Secondly, the verse that follows says that it talks about the water birth.
Mm-hmm.
How does that go now? That just slips my mind.
Turn over there, because he talks about Nicodemus. He says, except a man be born again. And Nicodemus is having trouble with that, just like people do today. And Nicodemus, of course, was one of the preeminent Bible scholars of his day himself. He was a rabbi, a very educated man. And let me get turned over there to John chapter 1.
Well, you're looking, and he says, do I enter into my mother's
womb
again?
A second time? And or actually, I'm John chapter 3 here. And yeah, I've got it right here now. And I'll go ahead and read that exchange for you here. He said, except a man, Jesus answered, this is in John chapter 3, verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That, and right here's just exactly what you said. You keep reading, the Bible explains itself. Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And there's the definition right there. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That corresponds to born of water.
Yeah.
For the child comes, the woman's water breaks, the child in the womb is immersed in amniotic fluid, which is almost completely water. It's got other stuff in it, but it's mostly water. And the water breaks. That's a physical birth. And then we need, you can't be born again if you haven't been born once. And so the second birth is a spiritual birth.
Amen.
And Jesus explains it very clearly there to John, and then goes on to talk about how you must believe, because he says in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so that's right there, just like you said.
Yeah, so that's the spiritual birth, and it's the great verse they learned in Sunday school, for God so loved the world that
right.
He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And see, faith in Jesus Christ, that means you trust in Jesus for salvation. You
exactly.
go to Jesus, who is God Almighty,
mm-hmm.
and he's everywhere. And you, in a simple prayer with faith and repentance, you say to him, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
Right.
And if you mean that and believe that, that'll get you into heaven. And Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, It's not coming to the church. It's not coming to the water. Not holding out to the end or living a good life. It's coming to Jesus Christ. And he says, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out.
Amen. You've got a caller calling in. You've got Kevin. And just got a few minutes left here. But I'll let you take that, Bruce.
Okay. He's one of our favorite callers. Kevin, are you there?
Yes. You know, how come it's always somebody else that misinterprets the Bible, but it's never you? You know, that which is born of flesh and that which is born of spirit. So are you telling me that the flesh that you had when you were born, you don't have a spirit?
Well, it's talking about the Spirit of God right there.
I know, but you do have a spirit. So don't try to separate the flesh from the spirit like, you know, that's amniotic fluid he's talking about. That doesn't even make sense.
Well, that's what Jesus said. He says... He explains himself right there, you know. Read that again, would you?
Yeah,
right.
Wait,
yeah,
okay.
Hang on there a second, Kevin. Since I'm the one who brought up the phrase amniotic fluid, and you said that doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make a bit of sense.
You were immersed in amniotic fluid before you were born. Everybody was. You wouldn't be on the radio with us today if you weren't. It's just simply referring to the spiritual birth.
Baptism.
Yeah, spiritual birth. Is because your spirit, when you're born, you do have a spirit, but it's dead. It's separated from Christ. And that's what happened when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. When Adam ate the forbidden fruit, he died spiritually.
I understand all that.
Well, we can't argue then, I guess, because Jesus simply said to Nicodemus, who was a very religious man, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, and in the next verse he explained it, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, which has a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit,
is Spirit. Can I ask you a simple question?
Go ahead.
Does a baby that's aborted go straight to hell then?
No.
No, but it wasn't born of amniotic fluid.
It was in amniotic fluid, but it didn't have the chance to be born again of the Spirit of God in the sense you're talking about. You're comparing apples to oranges there, but this is Bruce's program. I'll turn it back over to Bruce.
Everywhere.
You can't take the Bible from the New Testament from the church and interpret it better. And when you find out that you're wrong, good luck with that. May the Lord forgive you.
Well, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, you know, and there's so many verses like that. The dying thief, he's right next to Jesus on the cross, you know, and he can't be baptized there. And he says to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, Jesus says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Thomas said to Jesus, my Lord and my God. This is what saves you, these verses. And Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen and believed. And so all of God's blessings come when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. We believe that he on the cross died for our sins. And that is the gospel, that Christ died for our sins. Jesus was punished for every sin we ever committed or ever will commit. And it says he is able to keep you from falling, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. When we die, we don't go to purgatory. That's blasphemy against the work of Christ. Christ paid it already on the cross. We don't have to suffer. We know where we're going when we die. It's not because the church told us. It's because God said so. Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And I came to Jesus. I know that when I die, I will go straight to heaven, absent from the body, present with the Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful thought. That's the good news. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but the church that you follow, Kevin, it doesn't give you that kind of hope. When you die, most people are going to go into purgatory, even the popes, according to that teaching. And there's no such thing as purgatory. That came from Plato and was passed on through Origen. And the early church didn't believe it. But we could be happy. We could rejoice. Because we have eternal life, and we have it in Jesus Christ. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. And so what a blessing that is. You have something to say about that?
It amazes me that sometimes people, I could use the term facetiously, I guess. They get warm and friendly when you disagree with them, and when you appeal to the Scripture rather than to the words of men. Some people don't like that. And, well, I'm thankful that we have the scripture. And as you brought that out, and I'm just so thankful that Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. And if purgatory was for real and not a heathen concept brought in, like you said, by Origen, then Jesus would have been a liar when he said it's finished, because when you die and you go to purgatory, according to Roman Catholic Church, it's just begun, hasn't it? You still got to pay for your sins, but Jesus, as you said, he paid it all.
He is able to keep you from falling when you come to him and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That is the good news of the gospel. His blood cleanseth us from all of our sin. And so we're going to meet Jesus in joy, even though we have sinned and come short, yet Jesus paid it all. And we can rejoice from now till the day that we see Jesus, because we'll meet him with joy. If I had sin on my soul, I wouldn't meet Jesus with joy. But every Christian, the Bible says, Jesus Christ will confirm us unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the rapture. He was confirming us faultless till that day. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 12.